That was Marv Levy, who is joining us in the last segment today on Head Games Radio, now a general manager with Buffalo, and certainly he's going to have a lot of new information about the transition, changing that culture, and it's not just about the quarterback. As Bubby Brister and Len Dawson said a couple days ago, you've got to have a surrounding cast. When Bubby Brister went from the New York Jets to a Denver Broncos, he went from a team that had several outstanding talents to a team that seemed to have Pro Bowlers everywhere. Makes a huge difference. Well, the New York Yankees, as one example of a team that certainly can entertain the thought of changing wholesale their entire team, in particular their pitching, they're looking at that too. How can they surround themselves with the right kind of talent? And helping us look through the free agency market, the hot stove talk this offseason, is Jim Beattie. Jim, how are you?
Hey, Nick. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Well, let's start off with before we get to the Yankees, with Matsusaka, that's how you pronounce it, and the fact that the Boston Red Sox looks like they have stood up and made the big offer. What do you think is going to happen if they're able to land him? Wouldn't that have been someone the Yankees would want?
Oh, I think it definitely, given the especially when they've already got Matsu in the outfield, it would be a nice little match for them. The Yankees are very big in Japan. And maybe this is kind of the Red Sox chance to plant the Red Sox nation flag in Japan. So they're going to spend some money to try to do that. And maybe it's an environment with a Red Sox feel they can pay back that money just by doing more marketing of their team as the Yankees do in Japan. So it might be really an investment that pays itself back very quickly. But I think that's a guy, the Red Sox need that number one again, and there are people that think this guy is at very least a number three starter and could very possibly be a number one. He's only 26. He's got a long way to go, but to spend the reported $42 million just to get a chance to negotiate, say you sign him for 5 years for $50, which I don't see happening. I think it's going to be a larger contract than that. You've already got close to $100 million invested in the guy for, well, probably 5 or 6 years, unless they, depending on how they structure the contract.
He's something like 26, 27, so at least you're not signing a veteran pitcher at 34, 35 who may not have that longevity.
Well, that's true. I mean, he's a year younger than Johan Santana. But at the same time, he is a guy that there's lots of questions. I mean, can he come over here and have the success that he had over there? I mean, hitters have shown that they can do it. Pitchers, are they going to be able to do it? And they haven't had a lot of success. There have been a couple guys that have come over, but I'm sure the Yankees, the last one they were thinking about was Hideki Arabu, who I also had in Montreal, and he certainly didn't turn out to be anything close to what they were hoping for.
Well, here's something you said last week when we were talking about the calculations that teams are making when a Roger Clemens is available. Is 5-6 innings enough? Here you added your comments about the situation the Yankees are staring at.
From experienced conversations with the Yankees, they allow a lot of their players to travel on their own. Now, Roger takes that a little bit further, and at least with Houston, is on the bench for home games and when he pitches on the road. So he changes around a little bit, but I think you do a check with your players on your club if you're going to get in that situation, and you say, how do you guys feel about that? And I think by and large, most players respect what Roger Clemens has done. Now, if you're a guy that's got 3 or 4 years in the big leagues and you want to do that, it's not going to happen.
So, Jim, looking at Wang, Pavano, Johnson, Mussina, there is a tremendous amount of potential change on this Yankees staff. We all know that was the big weakness. What do you see happening?
Well, I think what they've been trying to do, they traded Jared Wright to the Orioles. I think they're trying to clear some of those guys off. They picked up a guy that's going to help their bullpen. So I think they're positioning themselves to throw some money at some free agent pitchers. Wong really is the only guy that they can count on. Messina's still a free agent, still negotiating. I expect him to sign back, but Messina at this point is still a number four starter, so they've got to get some better pitching out there. If they could get one free agent pitcher, that may not even be enough for them, so they may be looking at two to bring in. Johnson, with his back surgery, getting older, was certainly fallible this year. So I would expect that they're going to be in the market for one, at least, big pitcher as a free agent.
Which one would you pick between Schmidt and Zito?
Oh, I think I'd go with Zito. I think he'd be a nice complement to the pitchers that they have. I think Zito has put up innings, has had very little problems with health. Schmidt has had some problem with health off and on, and I think probably for me that's the determining factor. Schmidt is more of a power pitcher when he's healthy, but again, coming from the National League into the American League, Zito is a guy that has pitched well in the American League, knows the league, and I think he's probably more of a sure bet. And as I said, with the type of pitchers that you have elsewhere in that lineup, a left-hander like Zito would be a nice complement.
Okay, shifting over to competition with Detroit, most people believe they've got the young pitching. They've got the young players. They're going to be more mature. They will be more battle-hardened. And then you've got Gary Sheffield coming over to his old manager. That's got to be a huge benefit for Detroit.
Well, I think that was a big pickup for Detroit. I think Detroit, when you get in that situation, you see yourself so close, they can certainly say that they might only be one player away. They've got everybody lined up about where they want to. I think probably the one place that they, I believe, would feel a little more comfortable is in their closer. They had Todd Jones, who is getting a little long in the tooth, could do the job again, but they have some power arms in that bullpen. They have some power arms in the starting rotation. And they've got some young players, both in the outfield, infield, that are getting better. Pudge Rodriguez, again, another guy getting a little long in the tooth. They're looking at probably a two-year window where they've got to get it done with the players that they have. And I think that they went out and got Sheffield. They gave up three young pitchers in order to do that. But certainly that is a bat in the middle of the lineup. Again, if Sheffield stays healthy, that's going to be a big boost to that that lineup.
And what about the Mets with their aging pitching staff and injuries right when they needed them the most? What do you see them doing? Do you think they're able to be agile enough, like the Red Sox, to keep competitive with these top teams?
Well, I think once you get that taste, and I think people in New York are excited about the Mets again, I think you got to keep it going. I know Omar Minaya is going to be very aggressive out there. I expect them to be a big player in those starting pitchers as well. They've got their closer. They've got their bullpen that they can put together fairly well. So I think with all their young players and some of the more veteran players like a Delgado, who didn't ask for a trade after being traded in the middle of a multi-year contract, he wants to stay there. So I think their club sits up pretty well with one or two starting pitcher additions. If they keep Glavin and they add one of those pitchers that are free agents out there, then I think they're going to be feeling pretty good about what they've done in the offseason. Not a lot of things to do, but they're also taking a look at, what, 3 years from now, moving into a new stadium. So all of that plays into external things off the field, play into what you're trying to do with your club to set it up. They want that new stadium to be packed. They want it to be sold out. They want it to be sold out, all the suites, all the advertising, all the sponsorships and everything, all set. So for the next couple of years, they have their new TV station, their cable station coming on board. So for the next couple of years, I expect the Mets to be approaching what the Yankees have done and maybe very close in payroll.
Hey, Jim Beatty, thanks for joining us. Next time, let's have a little fun. Let's turn the other side of the coin and look at some of the small market teams like the Marlins, the Twins, who came so close, the Kansas City Royals, and look at what the real talent in a general manager would be, which is finding a way with a small payroll to get it done. Thanks for joining us today, my friend.
There you go, Nick. Have a great day. Take care.
Appreciate it, Jim. That's Jim Beatty, two-time general manager. Going to be a third one soon, I'm sure. We'll be right back with Ron Jaworski talking about quarterbacks and those that can think independently and strategically. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.